live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
Hi, welcome to the Young Turks. JQ Grant experiment with you guys. Lots of fun programming notes to begin with. So first of all, no show on Labor Day on Monday, so don't panic. It's going to be okay. But we love you guys for panicking. And then on Tuesday, we're going to make it up for you. Bernie's birthday bash. So we've been telling you about this for a little while. 7:30 p.m. Eastern after the regular show. But wait, now a shocking surprise guest confirmed today. I'm not kidding, and you will be genuinely surprised. Like, really? Huh. Wonder who that is. Okay, so don't miss it. You'll love it. And tonight, a fun little programming note for you guys. Twitch.tv/TYT. Common Room is back. It's couples night. John and Arlene and Brett and Brooke Marks. Okay.
Jesus, you guys have good looking wives. It's insane.
God bless. Okay. All right. Lots of stories for you guys tonight. And there will be rage. So let's get started.
All right. Michael Forrest Reynell, the Portland man who admitted he was responsible for the fatal shooting of a right-wing radical during a night of clashes with Trump supporters, was killed by cops as they attempted to apprehend him. This is based on what the authorities are alleging happened. We don't have too many details, but this has to do with the suspect who shot and killed Aaron Danielson, a member of Patriot Prayer. Now, the U.S. Marshal said a task force was attempting to arrest Michael Forrest Reynell in Washington state. He was wanted for this charge of murder. Now, the initial reports indicate the suspect produced a firearm. So they're alleging that he had a weapon on him, threatening the lives of law enforcement officers. Task force members responded to the threat and struck the suspect, who was pronounced dead at the scene. Now, as this was happening, as the authorities were attempting to apprehend him, Vice actually aired an interview with Reynell. He agreed to speak to the press, and he did confess to shooting Aaron Danielson, but says that he did it in an act of self-defense because Danielson was attacking him and a friend with a knife. Now, we do know based on local reporting at the time that Danielson did in fact have a knife on him, and he also did have a paintball gun. So there is some evidence corroborating that. But without further ado, here is Michael Reynell speaking to the press and explaining why he decided to open fire, killing Aaron Danielson.
I had no choice. I mean, I had a choice. I could have sat there and watched them kill a friend of mine of color, but I wasn't gonna do that. You know, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. My name's Michael Forrest Reynell, born and raised Portland, Oregon, 48 years old. You know, lots of lawyers suggest that I shouldn't even be saying anything, but I feel it's important that the world at least gets a little bit of what's really going on, because there's been a lot of propaganda put out there. What I will say is that I felt that my life and other people around me's lives were in danger. And I felt like I had no choice but to do what I did.
So before the authorities shot and killed him, he had also mentioned to the press that he is not a member of Antifa, despite the fact that was widely reported. He did describe himself as 100% anti-fascist, but never said that he was 100% Antifa, which was something that was originally alleged. Cenk.
Yeah, so first of all, Rhino should not have gone there with a weapon. Like Kyle Rittenhouse, put the weapons away. Don't go in the middle of heated, passionate situations with guns, because then people will use them. And soon both sides will be using them. Well, they're already both sides using them. What I'm worried about is both sides using them at the same time. So this has got disaster written all over. Okay, and I'm gonna in a little bit later give you some quotes of his where he did talk about potentially using force. Now, having said that, Kyle Rittenhouse defenders say, well, you know, he was hit with a skateboard after he shot someone else in the head, so he had every right to kill the guy who was trying to apprehend him or stop him from killing anyone else. Self-defense, right? Well, in this case, apparently there was definitely a knife, and so that's much worse than a skateboard. So definitely self-defense. So all right wingers agree, right? Self-defense, because you just said it about Rittenhouse. And in this case, it appears to be a more significant case of self-defense. So you're all on Reinhold's side, right? Oh, you're not. That's so weird. See, I'm consistent on it. Both of them should not, both the right winger and the left winger should not have gone with weapons, and they should not have used those weapons. But the right wing will say, oh, when the right wing does it, at the slightest provocation, or after Rittenhouse shoots someone in the head and someone chases him down, he's being chased down after shooting someone in the head, self-defense, not guilty. The other guy, oh, there's a knife and he might have killed someone. No, not self-defense. Why? I don't know, he's left wing. Like, it doesn't require rationale. So now let's look at the cops and whether they were consistent or not. Rittenhouse goes and murders two people and shoots three and walks up to the cops with his assault
illegal weapon.
Yeah, illegal assault weapon hanging out. Cops are like, hey, how you doing? They walk him, let him walk right up to their car. Okay, if he's black, he's already dead. You're walking up to a cop car with an assault weapon. Dead, no question about it. Rittenhouse saunters up after killing two people. So the cops are like, hey, how you doing? And then they let him go. Now, in the case of Reinhold, the cops chase him down a couple of days later. Now, this is super important. Every right winger online is lying. Every one of them is like, oh, he shot at the cops. What are you gonna do? He shot at the cops. Of course they had to murder him. No, that's not true. According to the latest reporting, here's CNN. Initial reports indicate that the suspect produced a firearm. They say it's not known if Reinhold fired at the officers. Okay, so believe me, if he'd fired at the officers, the first thing the cops would have said is, he fired at us, we had to kill him. He fired at us, murderer, terrorist, right? If the cops aren't saying he fired at him, they said, 200% chance that he didn't fire at them. So, oh, he's running away and he produced the firearm. Yeah, let's just kill him. And so, do I trust the cops that they were under threat? No, I don't. The cops are always on the right wing side. The cops are always against black people and always against the left wing in nearly every instance that we've covered. So, oh, trust cops on blind faith. You must be nuts. And look at the fact patterns here. One guy, oh yeah, you wanna come right up to us with an assault weapon. Oh, you're a right winger and you just murdered left wingers. Who cares? Come on up, buddy. Oh, you told us. Oh, that's okay, go home. The other guy, oh, he might be running away and he produced the firearm. He didn't shoot it or anything. He had plenty of opportunity, apparently. We don't know, we'll find out more, right? But right now, the story is he produced the firearm, so good enough. Shoot him. Dead. So there's no end to the hypocrisy.
I mean, yes, you're absolutely right. The hypocrisy is there. We've been pointing it out every single day. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't point it out every single day. But I'm personally done feeling angry at the hypocrisy because they know that they're being hypocritical. They're intentionally being hypocritical. They're intentionally applying a double standard. And we're trying to reason with people who think it's totally okay for, first of all, for police to do extrajudicial killings in this country without allowing people to have their day in court, without allowing people to go through due process and the criminal justice system. They think it's totally fine, right? As long as it impacts specific groups of people. So there's that. And they're just not interested in fairness. They're not interested in equality. These are people who aren't interested in the facts. And so once you kind of accept that they're not honest actors, that they engage in these conversations and these debates with bad faith, well, then it's not that the anger goes away, but it's just this understanding of, why even bother reasoning with these people? Now, it is important to point out the hypocrisy for everyone else, because there's a great deal of misinformation, actually disinformation, involving these protests. As we've given you in previous stories, we've given you statistics. Right-wing extremism in this country is more of a threat when it comes to domestic terror. And we got to keep giving people that information in order to combat the disinformation that we're hearing from the Trump administration and from other right wingers. Trump, by the way, also had seen the interview on Vice and immediately tweeted after, "Why aren't the Portland police arresting the cold-blooded killer of Aaron J. Danielson? Do your job and do it fast. Everybody knows who this thug is. No wonder Portland is going to hell." So to your point, Cenk, and by the way, he was obviously shortly killed by cops after that. But I bring that up because it goes to your point, Cenk. We saw the type of defensive commentary Trump provided for Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, essentially talking about how he was defending his life. But when it comes to someone on the left, someone who identifies with the protesters, well, he's a cold-blooded murderer, and why doesn't the FBI do its job and get him arrested immediately? So that's what we're dealing with. There's one more video, by the way, from his interview that I'd like to go to. So let's take a quick look at that.
It was a free-for-all and the police were letting it happen.
Right after it happened, what did you, panic? Did you run?
Well, honestly, you know, those are a bit of details I probably don't want to get into, other than just simply saying that, you know, I realized what had happened. I was confident that I did not hit anyone innocent, and I made my exit.
And just to reiterate, you feel that it was totally justified?
Totally justified. Had I not acted, I am confident that my friend and I'm sure I would have been killed, because I wasn't going to stand there and let something happen. What they've done is they're trying to make it look like we're all terrorists, and they're trying to make me look like a murderer.
And look, the part of that video that I definitely agree with, and we've seen it in multiple cases, not just in Portland, is that the police seem to allow some of this chaos to happen. We saw in the case of Kenosha, Wisconsin, the cops were very friendly to the armed militia members who were there, including Kyle Rittenhouse. They passed bottles of water to them, literally said, you could hear it in the video, "We appreciate you guys, we really do." So I think that that perspective is important and isn't portrayed accurately enough in the way it's reported elsewhere. But I also want to be fair and note that, you know, I'm suspicious of Rynell's side of the story. And he has, as Cenk alluded to earlier, promoted the use of violence. Sometimes he would say, no, violence isn't the way, but other times he seemed to be more open to using violence as a way to combat, you know, Trump fueled fascism in the country. And so, and he has some stuff in his criminal record that makes me wonder. So we got to give you the full facts. You know, it is what it is.
So, all right, look, first of all, and you, in a sense, you're right. Like, I grew up naive. I thought the cops were good guys, and partly because I was brainwashed by mainstream media. Every news report is, growing up, you watch local news, black guys did something wrong. Cops are amazing heroes who shot black people. Cops are always telling the truth, always, always telling the truth. They're angels. They risk their lives for us. When not really too often, I mean, they just shoot at any threat at all. But that's not what we were told. We were told growing up, cops are the greatest things on earth, right? So when you find out, it turns out, no, whether it's Kenosha, Wisconsin, or Portland, or New York, where we're gonna show you later in the show, cops let a guy who runs over protesters, they help him in the beginning, they help him afterwards, etc. It turns out, no, the culture of policing is every cop fascist? Of course not, right? But is the culture of policing pro-fascism? Absolutely. In this country, unfortunately, it is. So when you realize that, not only now, but in retrospect, I didn't know all of our lives were in danger because the police aren't actually on the side of all the citizens. And I don't think 90%, 95% of this country realizes that. And so if you're a left-wing activist and you want to yell at me and say, Jake, you should have known earlier, okay, fair enough. But you have to understand, the people you know aren't the majority of the country. The overwhelming majority of the country has been brainwashed by the media into thinking that cops are angels that walk on earth here, or maybe walk on clouds. And they always tell the truth, and they're just totally neutral and just trying to protect you. When in reality, the history of policing in this country is beat up and assault and abuse and oftentimes kill minorities, and always be against the left wing, crush the left wing at every turn. So they are right wing by their training and culture. So it shouldn't be. So now when we see with our own eyes, because there's cameras everywhere, yeah, okay, now I'm freaked out. Because I mean, if you have a fascist leader like Donald Trump and he gives them permission to start murdering people in the streets, or covering up for the murders of people, or if a left winger ever does anything, including self-defense, just shoot him dead, who cares? Well, that's a scary place to live, man. It's a super scary place to live. And so that's where we are. Now, in terms of Trump, you know, we all know it. It's fascism defined. Oh, somebody had a skateboard, self-defense, kill anyone you like, as long as you're on my side. Oh, you're not on my side. Somebody was gonna stab you or your friend, you monster terrorist. Cops, why haven't you murdered him yet? Get cops, get in there and murder him. This is US Marshals, they're federal forces. So there's a president telling them, you better go take that guy out. And you know, shortly thereafter, they go and take the guy out. So that's how fascism works. Now back to Reinhold, I wanna be super clear about this. Here's quotes from him. He said, every revolution needs people that are willing and ready to fight. I'm 100% Antifa all the way, so he did say it. I'm willing to fight for my brothers and sisters, even if some of them are too ignorant to realize what Antifa truly stands for. We do not want violence, but we will not run from it either. So he says both sides, and I don't care if he calls himself Antifa, I don't care about the label. I like this stupid media, like, oh, Antifa, oh my God, Antifa. Trump said they're terrorists, so I'm gonna treat them as terrorists. No, you're an idiot if you think that. In this case, though, you see what happened. He said, if the police continue to pick on and beat up innocent citizens that are peacefully voicing their objections, it must be met with equal force. Don't do that. No, you're not gonna meet it with equal force. You're gonna potentially kill someone, and then you're almost certainly gonna get killed. It's a really dumb idea has happened here. He says, we truly have an opportunity right now to fix everything. It will be fight like no other. It will be war, and like all wars, there will be casualties. So that is wrong, guys. Do not do that. Do not bring guns to things. Don't think that you're gonna outforce them. That's an idiotic way of thinking. And so look, MLK and Gandhi did nonviolence and it worked. And it wasn't just because they were giants as moral figures. It was also because they were smart and knew that they were outgunned. There was no way in the world Gandhi was gonna outgun the British Empire. And he knew that and he said that. Same thing with King. So if you think that a couple of left-wing guys are gonna outgun the entire police in this country, you're an idiot. No, civil disobedience works. That requires even more courage. But if you're right that the right wing and the fascists run this country, for the moment being, yes, you're right, they do.
All right, we gotta take a quick break. But when we come back, we have two different stories involving right wing radicals attacking peaceful protesters. And in some of these cases, getting away with it. So we'll be right back.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back on Young Turks. Let me read some comments from our members. Tui Ceratops, sorry, I'm sure I mangled that. It says, "Would a hero cancel his HBO Go and Netflix subscription and upgrade his TYT account from insider to producer?" I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that hero also canceled the Netflix subscription he was paying for his teenage sister, though.
Let's move on before I say something that's gonna get you upset.
Okay. No, I love you. I love you. TYT.com/join and TYT.com/upgrade. Okay, so a girl linked writes in. He knew he was going to be killed. That's why he did the interview. He is clearly not under any illusions that the cops do the right thing. I hear you, but in a situation like that, please turn yourself in and hands up with a lawyer to the precinct, okay? You don't take any chances. Mondo Libre says, at least the man got to speak before he was permanently silenced. Leroy Not Jenkins says, Jenkins so right about how local news is so pro-cop. The propaganda they used made me think that I had to be one of the good black people. Glad I had enough guidance from my parents. That actually shook me a little bit, Leroy. Thank you for writing in with that, appreciate it. All right, new Young Turks members on YouTube that just happened, Seb, Mickey Nyland, Gora Chiruri, William Lobato, and Dwayne Jackson. Love you guys. And the last one's from Twitch. Now I'm on LaVita, resub for their fourth month with Prime. And I love the quote. The quote is, 4 months of giving TYT Bezos' money. Because if you have an Amazon Prime account, they actually give us money, but it doesn't cost you anything to be a subscriber on Twitch. So check that out, and we love it and appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. And please don't forget tyt.com/go. That powers us and allows us to give you progressive messaging at like a fraction of what the right-wing billionaires pay their idiot hosts for propaganda. And they serve those billionaires. We serve you guys. TYT.com/go. All right. And if you share the stream, we love you and it helps a lot. Go ahead, Anna.
All right. So the right wing has been obsessing about left wing terrorism in the country, even though statistics do not bear that out. In fact, right wing extremism continues to be a national security threat, one that Donald Trump has completely ignored, and we're seeing the consequences of that. So some of the more recent cases involve two men in Missouri who were arrested because they were planning on going to Kenosha, Wisconsin, in order to carry out acts of violence, to loot. According to federal agents who had been tailing them, they were arrested in Pleasant Prairie. So they made their way to Wisconsin after receiving a tip. They were coming to Kenosha to possibly loot and pick people off. Now here's the scary part. The FBI tracked Michael Carmo and Cody Smith to the La Quinta Hotel in Pleasant Prairie on September 1st. Investigators said they searched the men's vehicle and hotel room where FBI agents recovered an AR-15 assault rifle, a 500 AB 12 gauge shotgun, two shot handguns, a silencer, ammunition, body armor, a drone, and other materials. Now, both men have pretty serious criminal records, and they had no business, no right to own those weapons. So they had possession of those weapons illegally. Carmo and Smith told agents they, quote, wanted to see proof of the rioting and were planning to drive to Portland, Oregon next, saying they were willing to take action if police were defunded. And I think based on the weapons that were found, we know what they mean when they say take action. There are other cases of right-wing radicals carrying out acts of violence recently. But before I get to that, Cenk, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, so if you're wondering, hey, that's weird, this is the first time I'm hearing this story. Well, there's a good reason for that. So if a Black Lives Matter protester, let alone leader, or someone from Antifa had loaded up a whole heap of weapons and said they were going to loot and murder people, it would be the largest story in America. And you all know that. There's not a single person who disputes that. Every right winger was screaming from the rooftops. Trump and Fox News was screaming from the rooftops. Oh, we knew it, the Black Lives Matter people are looters, and look at all the weapons they have, terrorists. If it's Antifa, it might even be worse. They're right wingers. Everybody's like, oh yeah, that's totally normal. So why? Well, it's normal on two fronts. One, I don't blame them because the right wingers do it all the time. So it just gets exhausting. There's nonstop right wing terrorism in this country. Hey, that's Tuesday. A right winger was going to murder people, had untold weapons. And by the way, they were going to steal things. Okay. But the second reason is the more devastating one. It's because it's a matter of privilege. They think, oh yeah, I mean, the right wing guys are patriots. And so they were going to defend the robbery. Whatever, who cares? It doesn't matter. The right wing can do whatever they want. But if anyone from the left wing ever does anything, terrorist, oh my God, time to send in the tanks. So look, you can see it with your own eyes. There is no dispute. And in this case, think about it. So you all get Trump's hypocrisy. And at this point, I think you all get the police hypocrisy. But in this case, this is just about the media. The media thinks if the left wing does something wrong, it's terrible and unconscionable and they might be terrorists. If the right wing does something that was going to be a terrorist act and looting, they think that's not that big a story.
No, I think it's actually worse than that. Because it's the same virus that we've experienced in different contexts, right? From what I've seen in the media, you know, without considering the outliers and maybe partisan media, like I don't consider Fox News. I'm just thinking about like legacy media outlets, corporate media. They're still obsessed with false equivalencies. They're still obsessed with confusing neutrality with objectivity. And I think it's important. Look, I'm not saying that if someone on the left carries out an act of violence, they should excuse it or make excuses for it. Absolutely not, right? What I'm arguing though is don't pretend as if left-wing terrorism is as much of a threat in this country as right-wing extremism, because we see it in FBI reporting. We see it in other studies, one of which I'm about to mention in the context of this story in just a minute. Right-wing extremism is a problem. And when they draw this false equivalency, they needlessly create all this hostility and they antagonize the left. When you look at the numbers, when you look at these protests, the vast majority of them are peaceful, okay? That doesn't mean there aren't ever instances of violence breaking out, but you also have to like study those instances of violence and what escalated to that point, right? So, and by the way, I just gave you some anecdotal evidence. Two men from Missouri who just got arrested because they were planning on going to Kenosha to carry out acts of violence. That's what those weapons were for. Well, now let's move on to another case, this time Times Square. So there were multiple videos that went viral recently on social media showing a vehicle driving through a group of protesters. This is in Times Square. Luckily, no one was seriously injured. There were a few minor injuries. The video I'm about to show you is graphic, but it gives you a sense of what pro-Trump counter-protesters engage in when they show up to these Black Lives Matter demonstrations.
What?
So the suspects in that vehicle, I just want to note, did go to the police. They were questioned and they were released with no charges. Let me give you the details on what we know so far. The vehicle's light.
Anna, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in. I want you to give the details in a second. But I don't want any cop ever claiming that a car is a deadly weapon anymore. So if you, if the people that are involved, the victims are right wing, or oh my God, God forbid if the victims are cops, or like anybody just drives near a cop, they're like, deadly weapon, I had to murder him, I shot him in the head, right? No, you don't have that excuse anymore. You just told me it's not a deadly weapon. You just told me it's no big deal to run over people with your car. No big deal at all. As you're about to find out, it says because it's their right wing buddies. And the right wing buddies try to murder left wingers. So they're like, oh, car's no longer a deadly weapon. Oh, you come anywhere near a cop, we'll shoot you in the head and claim it's a deadly weapon in your car, whether it's a skateboard or a car. The hypocrisy is unreal. So we'll give you the details on how the cops love these guys in a second.
So here's what we know about the perpetrators, the people who were in the vehicle. There were several people in the vehicle, and apparently the vehicle's license plate matches that of another car frequently shared on social media by Hakeem Gibson, a pro NYPD activist who currently runs a law enforcement support page. The Ford Taurus appears to be a former police car purchased from a police auction. According to Facebook posts, Gibson recently outfitted the car with a push bumper and spotlight, joking online that other drivers had often mistaken him for a police officer. Now, one of the other people in the car is a transgender pro-Trump activist who has gotten in trouble several times for defacing Black Lives Matter murals. And there's one of them in Manhattan. There's another one in Brooklyn. Juliet Germanotta is her name, a pro-Trump activist, confirmed that she was in the vehicle with five other counter-protesters when the driver floored it through the crowd of Black Lives Matter marchers. She said she felt threatened by the protesters and feared for her life. Denying reports from eyewitnesses that the driver was the aggressor in the situation. Look, there are multiple videos of what happened from multiple angles. You guys just saw one of them. There were the protesters threatening anyone's life in that video you just saw. I mean, it's just, and what amazes me is they go and talk to the cops, and the cops are like, oh, you felt threatened? Of course you did. Yeah, totally fine. No charges, you're free to go. And the NYPD is telling the press that, yeah, we're still investigating it. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're really looking to, you know, make sure justice is served in that case where someone could have easily died by getting run over.
Yeah, so earlier you see the cops giving these guys an escort, right? Police escort. Well, and they're super friendly with them. Earlier, as in like, 10 seconds earlier. Okay, so here it is, right? So, oh, those are the cops. Hey, yeah, hey. And they're protecting them from other people who are just filming, right? Now, oh my God, a left winger has a camera. That seems super dangerous. Let's protect our right wing friends. Now, look at the car. The cops let him go, okay? So they're going to the thing. So it's not like the car was surrounded by protesters. No, you just saw the beginning of that video, and the first video we showed you is the tail end. They come up to the protesters and boom, they floor. Okay, so no provocation, anything. The cops look at it like, oh yeah, those guys are our buddies that we just escorted and protected. Oh, they just ran over some protesters. Oh, great, no problem. Or did they chase them? No, of course not. And then the guys come in and the cops talk to them. They go, oh, you tried to kill protesters? Great, man. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. And so now they let him go, totally go, and they said nothing happened, nothing wrong. And then they say, oh, it was on camera. Okay, we're still investigating, okay? And it depends. If there's enough political pressure and we're worried one of us might get fired, we'll do some trappings of pretending to care. And when you're not looking, we'll let him go anyway. But for now, no one's been arrested. It's clear as day. They have video. What do you imagine if they had video of a left winger or a black person, same exact situation, that runs over cops? Do you think hold on, let me get this right. Do you think they'd still be investigating? Or do you think they would have already gone to that person's house and shot them dead. Okay, come on, keep it.
Yeah, we know what the answer is. Well, because look, we're talking about the NYPD, where in the beginning of the civil unrest in this country, we had multiple examples of them running over protesters themselves. They see the protesters as their opponents, their political enemies. That's the reason why they're so friendly to the counter protesters, even as they carry out acts of violence and terror. That's what's going on. That's what we're seeing. Again, like, we saw NYPD SUVs run over a crowd of protesters. Luckily, no one died in that instance, but it's just, they did it themselves, Cenk. They don't care. And so we gave you some anecdotal evidence. Anecdotal evidence doesn't mean anything. What matters is, if you look at the bigger picture, what is the trend? And the trend is that right-wing radicals pose the biggest threat to people's safety. Here's another study that looked into this. It's a report by the nonprofit Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. They concluded that an escalation in the government response to protests and a sharp uptick in extremist activity means the United States faces a growing risk of political violence and instability ahead of the 2020 election. So their worries, their concerns are about how the Trump administration escalates violence and how right-wing extremism poses a threat, not just now, but as we get closer to the general election. And then they looked at the Black Lives Matter movement overall to see if there's any truth to this narrative we've been hearing about looting and violence and how dangerous they are. Here's what they found. About 93% of the racial justice protests that swept the United States this summer remained peaceful and non-destructive. So they looked at looting as well. 93%.
Okay, so guys, this part's super important because first of all, even among the 7%, did they include the stores being burned down? Of course they did, right? And so that's part of that 7% where there was violence. But a lot of the 7% was when counter protesters showed up and began violence. And a lot of, and even more of it was when cops showed up and started attacking the protesters. And so now they count both sides. So when left wing starts it, or the protesters start it, or they do violence, they count that. When the police then cause the violence to begin, they count that. They don't care who started it. They count, but they do note who started it, right? To the best of their ability. And the majority of it is police or counter protesters starting it. So now I'm only telling you that in the context of, so it's even a smaller number than 7%. So the overwhelming majority of the protests are totally peaceful. So now, when you turn on the news, is that the impression that you get? Now, I know why they, part of why they do it. Burning buildings are amazing footage, and everybody gets scared, and then they get glued to their TV, and it's catnip for media. They just, oh, they love it so much, right? And they show it 24/7. But when the media shows a couple of percentage points, like, hey, that happens 2-3% of the time, but they show it 24/7, it makes it look like it happens 100% of the time. So the impression left for the audience and for the American people is, oh my God, these protesters are constantly burning things down and they're all rioters and looters, etc. And then the Trump and the Fox News come in and go, oh, the poor right wing, when they go in there and shoot people in the head, they're just doing self-defense. I mean, you saw the burning buildings. And so that's how propaganda works. And the whole country is misled, honestly, mainly by corporate media, into thinking that left wing and minorities are the agitators, the aggressors, and are mostly violent, when in fact, the numbers show you it's the exact opposite.
Got to take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk about Donald Trump and how he has been a juvenile baby when it comes to criticizing others and then later denying it.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Member comments, Lisa Payton says, I absolutely love you guys and being a new member. Well, Lisa, we love you back. And since we love you guys, we do extra shows for you. So Bernie Bash, that's a good thing, birthday bash, is on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And we already told you, we're going to tell you his life story, his amazing stories, his accomplishments, et cetera, and where it leads the progressive movement. But today, I told you in the beginning of the show, and in case you weren't here, we're going to have a shocking surprise guest. A shocking surprise guest. I'm not kidding. You will actually be genuinely surprised. Very surprised. So check that out. It's going to be awesome. We also have Common Room tonight for you guys on Twitch. Twitch.tv/TYT. Brett and John are on there. You guys are going to love that. It's couples night. It's really cute. Check it out. I'm just going to read two more things. Cousin Vinny says, it's because the right wing has taken full ownership of the Second Amendment. If a right winger has a gun, they're just being free Americans. If a left winger has guns, they must be malicious and planning violence. And yes, the media helps perpetuate that. So it's a great point as usual. I wish I could read all your points, guys. Christopher Barron just became a member on YouTube. Thank you, Christopher. We appreciate it. And the last one's just fun. Stephanie Carlton on YouTube Super Chat says, can I get a shout out for my mama's birthday tomorrow? Her name is Denise. We love your show and watch it daily. Denise, happy birthday.
Yay, Denise.
All right. That's always fun. All right, guys. You made the show possible. And do something that's free and really easy. Share the stream whenever you can, okay? And tyt.com/join to join. Thank you. All right, what's next?
Donald Trump is vehemently denying allegations made in a shocking Atlantic piece, which claims that Trump refused to visit a US military cemetery near Paris in 2018 because the fallen soldiers were, in his words, losers and suckers. Now, I say it was a shocking piece, but to be honest with you, not so shocking when you consider all the different times he transparently, brazenly said terrible things about members of our military who happened to disagree with him politically. But here he is denying it, and then I'll give you what the facts are.
To think that I would make statements negative to our military and our fallen heroes when nobody's done what I've done. With the budgets, with the military budgets, with getting pay raises for our military. It is a disgraceful situation by a magazine that's a terrible magazine. I don't read it. I disagreed with John McCain, but I still respected him. And I had to approve his funeral as president. We lowered the flags. I had to approve that. Nobody else. I had to approve it. When you think, and I'm just thinking back, I had to approve either Air Force One or a military plane to go to Arizona to pick up his casket. And I approved it immediately.
So let's take a look at a Trump tweet from 2015, because there's always a tweet. This is from July 18th, 2015, where Trump referred to John McCain as a loser. He tweeted an article about himself calling John McCain a loser. So he was bragging about it. Also, when McCain died in 2018, Trump refused to lower the White House flag back to half staff, even though it's become customary for presidents to sign a proclamation calling for the flag to remain at half staff for members of Congress until the day of interment. And then one other piece of evidence to kind of refute Trump's narrative in that video. Take a look.
And I said, somebody should run against John McCain, who has been, you know, in my opinion, not so hot. And I supported him. I supported him for president. I raised $1 million for him. It's a lot of money. I supported him. He lost. He let us down. But, you know, he lost. So I never liked him as much after that, because I don't like losers. But Frank, let me get to it. He hit me. He's not a war hero.
He's a war hero.
He's a war hero.
5.5 years.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
That was from a 2015 event in Iowa, Jake.
So I don't know how to talk to Trump supporters anymore. That's why I say, like, I'm done with them in my personal life and everywhere else, because the guy's a ridiculous liar. Doesn't he know that he tweeted out John McCain's a loser? Doesn't he know he said on tape? I mean, that was a massive moment. You guys all remember when he said, I prefer people who weren't captured. But earlier he said, I don't like losers, referring to John McCain. So why did he come out yesterday and say, no, I never called him a loser? He's just unbelievable. He's unbelievable. And so if you say, hey, you know what? I love people who are liars. Okay, I get. I mean, do you, boo? Okay. And look, again, I blame the media. And because so many politicians lie and they never call it out. They enabled politicians' lies for decades. So eventually you got one that's so over the top that even they had to be like, whoa. And remember, you guys remember, it took them like a couple of years before they finally gathered up the nerve to say, well, what Donald Trump said there was not correct. And I'm like, Is it okay?
I'm forgetting the name of the CNN analyst who finally just said it and then went on this 3-minute rant fact-checking Trump. He was fact-checking Trump's RNC speech. But he started that 3-minute rant by saying, Trump lied. He's a liar. And I was like, is this CNN? What's going on? And so, yeah, you're right, Cenk. Like, the fact that that excited me, because it's so rare, I think, means something. And we'll get you the name of the person I'm talking about, because he deserves all the credit. I'm just kind of blanking right now. But look, I actually think with this particular story and a few others, the media has done a decent job. So, for instance, Business Insider had a very lengthy list highlighting all the different times Donald Trump attacked members of the military, right? And fallen soldiers. So I want to read a few of them right now. In fact, as you guys can probably remember, in July of 2016, Trump attacked the family of Captain Humayun Khan, a slain soldier, someone who died fighting for the country, dismissing a speech his father, Kaiser Khan, made because he said Khan's mother hadn't been allowed to speak. The family said she had not spoken because she was too emotional to talk about her son's death. And he just kept going after that family. It was honestly disgusting. In October of 2017, Trump forgot the name of slain US Army Sergeant LaDavid Johnson. While he was on the phone with his widow, Johnson was killed in an ambush in Niger while in active service. Maisha Johnson said the call with Trump made her cry, and that Trump told her that her husband knew what he had signed up for. In November of 2018, Fox News's Chris Wallace asked Trump about his thoughts on retired Admiral William McRaven, a former Navy SEAL who was behind the mission that killed Osama bin Laden. He interrupted Wallace and said, "Hillary Clinton fan." When Wallace continued, Trump did too. "Excuse me, Hillary Clinton fan." Trump went on to repeat that McRaven supported Clinton, which, by the way, he hadn't, as well as former President Barack Obama, and said, "Frankly, wouldn't it have been nice if we got Osama bin Laden a lot sooner than that?" I mean, there's so many more examples, Cenk, but I mean, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to some of them. So, and by the way, Daniel Dale is the CNN reporter that I was referring to earlier. Go ahead.
So we've seen him call the generals losers thousands of times. I guess people are shocked that he would go and call the fallen soldiers losers as well, and not just stop at generals or veterans or captured soldiers. But is it really shocking at all? He calls everybody losers. I mean, in his denial, he called the military people who were the sources for this story lowlifes and liars. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to deny that you'd ever call anybody in the military losers, you shouldn't then turn around in your denial and call them lowlifes and liars. So, and look, Atlantic broke the story with four sources. Then Washington Post backed it up with three sources. And then Associated Press also found sources all saying the same thing. He said it.
I actually want to read a few excerpts from the Washington Post piece. Again, these aren't the same sources. These are additional sources who also spoke to the Washington Post about their experience with Trump and what he had to say about fallen soldiers. In one account, the president told senior advisors that he didn't understand why the US government placed such a high value on finding soldiers missing in action because they had performed poorly and gotten caught and deserved what they got, according to a person familiar with the discussion. Okay, that part of the story, like, I don't know, all of it is gross, but that part hit me the hardest because he just doesn't value people's lives. And think about losing a family member that way and knowing that the president of the United States does not care to find their bodies. Trump believed people who served in the Vietnam War must be losers because they hadn't gotten out of it, according to a person familiar with the comments. Trump also complained bitterly to then Chief of Staff John Kelly that he didn't understand why Kelly and others in the military treated McCain, who had been imprisoned and tortured during the Vietnam War, with such reverence. Isn't he kind of a loser? Trump asked, according to a person familiar with Trump's comments.
Look, Donald Trump says this is outrageous, it's anonymous sources. Donald Trump also just a couple of days ago said that there was a plane full of thugs who were gonna come and disturb his acceptance speech and cause violence. And when asked, who told you that? He said, I can't tell you. Basically, it's anonymous. Mm-hmm. So wait, I'm supposed to believe your anonymous source of a, oh, trust me, it's a guy you would know, trust me. But we're not supposed to believe now, it looks like about a half a dozen military sources that talked to three different publications, all saying the same thing and all saying things that are very similar to what you've said before. And by the way, yesterday on the show, before the Washington Post and the Associated Press stories came out, I said, I guarantee you that he thinks that they're suckers because he got out of Vietnam with a fake doctor's note because his daddy bought him one, and he thinks they're suckers for not being able to get out of the war like his spoiled ass. And it turns out that's exactly what he said, according to the military sources that heard him say.
Yeah. And remember, when sources are anonymous to the general public, that doesn't mean that they're anonymous to the reporters. Reporters have to vet their anonymous sources and corroborate what they're saying. So maybe they're anonymous to us, but they're not anonymous to the reporters. All right, postgame is next. You don't want to miss it. We have a banana story involving Democratic strategists. See you there.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members only bonus content and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.